Welcome to WebEx, practical web accessibility tips.
Welcome to WebEx, podcast number 69, the recovery.gov site review and news and events. This is Dennis, your host as usual.
And I'm Ross.
Hello, Ross. Welcome back.
Thank you, Dennis. How have things been going?
Pretty good. Thanks. Hey, yesterday, it took pretty much the entire day, but I did my taxes. I submitted my tax return, and I'm going to get some money back. Yeah, so I'm really happy about that.
Yeah, you're quite a few steps ahead of me. I've got a pile that I still have to, like, organize.
That's what I had, a huge pile. And I went through everything and, like, organized all my freelance company, like, bills and just everything. I'm amazed at myself.
Well, I'm impressed.
Thanks. So good luck to you.
Yeah, thanks. I emailed my accountant and said I'm ready to have that meeting, and that's as far as I've got. So
for you non-Americans, April 15th, which is less than a month away, is when we have to file our tax returns and see if we could get some money back or have to pay the government. Fun.
I'll probably be paying the man this year.
All right. Anyhow, okay, well, let's talk about, we have a good list of events to talk about.
Yeah, a lot of things coming up. So the first one seems like it's by you, the Web 2.0 Expo.
Yeah, this is a pretty major event. There's one in New York, too, during the year. But there's one that's coming up in San Francisco, March 31st to April 3rd. And I registered. I got approval from my day job company at RIM, and so I'll be representing them and going. It's pretty cool. They're going to talk about all different subjects, but they're going to have, I think, 8 sessions on mobile, which was a good excuse to go. So it should be cool. Yeah.
So is it just kind of all things web applications?
Kind of, yeah. It talks, yeah, I don't know. I mean, there's like some UI stuff, some, you know, marketing stuff, you know, in business, and then there's, you know, like I said, the mobile, and then, you know, development stuff, you know, so a little bit of everything, but it's at the Moscone West Convention Center. I've never been there before, but I'm going to make a little vacation out of it again and take the family up there for a few days, so it should be pretty cool.
Yeah, sounds nice. Yeah. You should do a podcast from there.
Yeah, that's not a bad idea. I'm not sure how much is going to be going on about accessibility. I'll have to, yeah. But I'll let you guys know.
There may be a podcast from there.
Yeah.
So the next one is Refresh Detroit is having the March meeting. So if you're in the Detroit or semi-Detroit area, like Toledo or Ohio or something like that, you should come on by. Noel Jackson, who works for WordPress, the company who makes WordPress, Automattic, is going to be talking about transitioning from print design to web design. So that should be interesting.
Sounds cool. That's going to be at Washtenaw Community College?
Yep, Washtenaw Community College, which is where I am part-time teaching.
Oh, you're still doing that? That's awesome.
Well,
I'm jealous. I wanted to do that.
Yeah, it's I've only done one semester so far, and then I was going to do another one, and I got bumped because people who have been there longer have kind of, like, priority.
Oh, okay.
And so I'll be teaching again in the spring.
Cool, man. That's awesome.
Yeah.
My old stomping ground zone. Anyways, next event. There's a European Accessibility Forum. It looks really good. It's obviously not in the United States. It's in Germany, in Frankfurt, and that's March 27th. So that's coming up pretty quick. So check out the link on the WebEx post for Podcast 69. Also, from our friend Jared Smith at WebAIM, I'm found out about this TweetUp is the new term. It's where Twitter people meet up, so it's called a tweet up.
Awesome.
So there's an event, a technology and persons with disabilities conference coming up. That's also, oh, actually, that's this week. So hopefully I'll have to process this podcast real fast and put it up. But this Wednesday, March 18th, from 6 to 7:30 in the Los Angeles Airport Marriott, that's where the meetup is at that conference. So that's a pretty cool new term and event, so thought I'd talk about it.
Have you ever been to a tweet up?
No, surprisingly. I'm a big Twitter fan now. And
yeah, especially after creating the accessible.
That's Twitter. Right, which is growing in popularity, and that's good.
Yeah, I've seen that. It seems like there's been a few interviews on web pages I've come across, too. People are talking to you about it.
Yeah, there was a couple of interviews done. I've gotten 3 small donations, so thank you if you've donated. So hopefully that might cover the cost of hosting now. I'm not sure, but... Anyways, we could talk more about that later if we want, but let's talk about the next event, South by Southwest, which is going on right now.
Yeah, I'm jealous that I'm not there. Every year it seems like we both say that we're going to go and then never do.
Yeah, it sneaks up pretty fast.
Yeah.
So we should try to plan for next year. That'd be cool.
Yeah,
we can meet up there in Austin, right? It's in Austin?
Yep, Austin. And
I've never been to Texas, but I have friends there.
Well, there you go. That'd be perfect.
Exactly.
So look for us next year if you're going. We'll probably be there, maybe.
Yeah, I'm jealous. Everybody's twittering and everything about what's going on. I'm like, oh, that sounds like so much fun. Paul Boeck's like, I'm at the pub. Come meet me.
Here we are.
Yeah.
Sitting on Skype instead.
Well, I'm going to the Web 2.0 Expo, so I'm excited about that.
Right. Yeah, that's cool. I've got no good conferences coming up, so I should do something about that.
Well, you could speak to the guy who works at WordPress. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Refresh Detroit. You guys have been some pretty good meetings, man. I'm impressed on what you guys have done with the group. So.
Yeah, it's seems to be growing pretty quickly. A lot of people are interested. Noel has actually been to some of the other meetings, and I was talking to him, and I guess he's good friends with Joe Clark.
Oh, yeah?
And I don't know if there was a site that Joe did kind of as a joke a while back, and I forget what it was called, like the most ugly site on the web or something like that, but Noel actually designed it for him, and it was kind of, or accessibility doesn't have to be ugly, something along those lines. I forget what it was, but he actually designed it for him, so I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah, he sounds like a neat guy to talk to. Both of those guys are interesting to talk to, I'm sure.
Yes.
Anyhow, okay. Well, that's all the events. There's a lot going on, so if you're attending one of those events, please leave some feedback on the post and... that would be great. Let's move on to the news.
WebAx.
Okay, so WebAx, we are now on Twitter. There is a Twitter account for WebAx, which is simply WebAxe is the username. And so you could follow the WebAx updates and other accessibility stuff on there. And don't forget to use accessible Twitter at accessibletwitter.com. Because we all know that's the best Twitter application.
Definitely. Without a doubt.
All right, next.
I found a couple articles that were interesting. Our friend at 456 Berea Street posted a couple links to some articles that talk about how to set up a good screen reader test environment. And there's some obvious things in there that I hadn't necessarily thought about before, like make sure to turn your monitor off with the, you know.
Mm.
And there's a couple other good suggestions on how to do it and, you know, what screen readers have, kind of like 30-minute trials and stuff like that.
Cool. Yeah. I mean, even the simple things like that, like, you know, people don't think of it or don't do it, but, you know. Like turning off the monitor, that's a great one right there.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. cool. So yeah, Roger Johansson. He's I think he took a little break a while back, didn't he? But it looks like he's back.
Yeah, he's definitely posting again. So
yeah,
good stuff there.
I like his authentic jobs too. Does he do that?
That's Cameron Mole.
Oh yeah.
And actually, I just recently used it, which was pretty cool. Yeah. I was looking for some development help and posted up a listing and got like 100 people who were like beyond qualified.
Oh my God.
Good problem to have, but I was like, how do I go through this many applications?
Okay, cool. So if you're looking for a job or if you need to hire somebody, do authentic jobs.
I was impressed.
At authenticjobs.com by Cameron Mall.
Who should sponsor us?
Okay, and there's something else on 456 Berea Street. Check your design with text size increase to 200%.
Yep.
And so that's the WCAG 2 suggestion.
Yeah, it basically says that readers should be able to increase their text size to 200% without breaking, which I think it's kind of interesting to have some sort of metric, you know, before it's just like, can you resize text and kind of vaguely what point is too much or too little, but to actually know like, okay, 200%, I can check for that.
Yeah, that's interesting. That seems like one of the few things that they actually, you know, created a more concrete guideline for.
Yeah.
So that's good. So yeah, if you weren't doing it before, you should definitely do it now. But you know, just a side note. Have you noticed, I don't know if we talked about this before, but most of the browsers, the newer versions lately, it's, they do just like the view in, they
like the
increase
zoom.
The zoom. Yeah, that's what I'm trying to say.
Right,
thanks.
Right.
And not really the text size.
Yeah, I know that Firefox does that now unless you do some tweaking.
Yeah. Unless you specifically go into the menu systems and try to find just text resizing, but
yeah.
So I guess that's a whole other debate in itself whether that's good or not, but that seems to be the trend, so we'll have to just go with it.
Yeah, and I don't know if that's good or bad. I guess it kind of depends.
Yeah, so it just, I mean, you could use the, you know, the Firefox or whatever web developer toolbar to try to increase the text size. I think there's a way to do that in there.
Yeah, I believe so. And you can tweak, you know, your options so you can do it and sort of thing. Still possible to do, just harder, unfortunately.
Yeah. Okay. So next news item, call for review for the WAI ARIA working document.
Yeah, so that's the Accessible Rich Internet Applications last call working draft, so they're kind of looking for people to look it over, get feedback.
Yeah, I noticed there's another document too, the new ARIA document for browsers. So
yeah, I saw that, but I didn't really.
Yeah, there's a call for a review for that too. So I guess that's more specific to the browser interpretation rather than the coding of ARIA.
Yeah.
But I'm looking at the site now, and it says please send comments by April 17th. So you have a couple, two or three more weeks, because I think they've extended it.
Yeah.
Because I did a quick post on this a few weeks ago, and the WebEx post says March 24th was the deadline, but I think they've moved it up, so because it now says April 17th. So you have a few more weeks. Check it out. And there's an email address if you want to send some comments.
Yep. It definitely give some feedback and help shape the web.
That's one area I'm actually a little weak on is the ARIA, and I'm looking to learn that some more and maybe implement some of it into accessible Twitter. So I should probably take a look at it myself.
Yes, and everybody else should take a look at accessible Twitter.
That's right. Hey,
we'll see how many times we can plug it.
You know, it doesn't have all the functionality. Like you can't update like your account settings yet in accessible Twitter, but you could do most of the other stuff. You know, like all the obvious stuff. You know, posting a tweet and viewing other accounts and viewing followers of other. Of other users and all, you know, like direct messages and stuff. But I did build in two or three features that are not, you know, that are not on the Twitter website that I think are pretty good. So like, if you see somebody's tweet and you're following them, there's a direct message, like icon, directly on there. So it's kind of like a shortcut to direct message them. And there's one or two other neat things, and I'm gonna be building in a retweet icon. Which was requested by a user. So for any tweet, you just press the retweet icon, and the idea is that it's gonna, you know, automatically put in the text for you in the input field. You know, the RT, and then the reference to the user. So you don't have to do all that. So that was a good idea.
Yeah, it's getting really popular now, so very cool.
The bad part is, you know, of course it has to be accessible, so I have to do everything twice, you know. I have to do the JavaScript version, and I have to do the server-side version.
Right.
But, you know, it's a little bit challenging, and it's fun, so what can I say?
It's worth it, yes.
Yeah. All right, so I think that's enough about events and news for today. We have a lot to talk about, so that's good. And now we're going to move to our main segment.
WebEx. All right, so today we took a look at the new recovery.gov website. It seems like they're kind of redoing a lot of these sites and kind of updating a lot of the government sites like the whitehouse.gov and all that. And
You know, when I first glanced at the site, you know, it looks pretty nice. You know, and it's got a fresh kind of Web 2.0-y, I guess, look, you know, it's nice. And, when I first glanced at the code, you know, like at the very first glance, it looked like they're using web standards and stuff, but unfortunately, the more I, dove into it, the more I realized that there's, a lot of issues.
Yeah. And I don't remember what the site was like before, so, you know, it might be a dramatic improvement. But there's just some obvious things that I'm sure, you know, we're going to go over.
Yeah.
But just kind of like, why, you know, I can't believe that they didn't think of these. Didn't put the time.
So, yeah. The people in Europe are probably cringing because the United States can't... At least the United States government and state governments and stuff have such a problem with web accessibility. I mean, there's Section 508, so I don't know what the hell, you know, they're thinking about when they're making websites like this. It's like, come on.
Well,
I'm sure they paid a pretty penny to get this, and, you know, and...
Right. Yeah, and I don't know if it's, like, because it's not really... Is there an enforcement problem? Like, there's not enough enforcement of the 508? So.
I guess. If nobody complains.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Go take a look at recovery.gov and click the contact info link in the footer and send a complaint that's not accessible. And maybe they'll do something about it. I already sent them a message. I said, hey, you know, you got a nice site with nice information, but it's not web accessible or Section 508 compliant, you know, and I could help you out with that. So we'll see if I get a response.
Yeah. They should hire Dennis.
I'm willing to do it, and I'd really like to do it. So, by the way, if you guys are unfamiliar with what the hell we're talking about, our new president, Obama, has this new big recovery plan, so that's what this website's about. And to quote the U.S., or it says, the American Recovery and Reinvestment Act is an unprecedented effort to jumpstart the economy, create or save millions of jobs, and invest in what essentially is the infrastructure of the United States, all different kinds of stuff, transportation, technology, so... That's what this website is about. and which is obviously very important.
Yeah.
So
we have a minor stake in what they're doing.
Yeah. And the rest of the world too, really, but
true.
In this global economy. But you know, I mean, you could tell the developers were trying.
Yeah.
But
yeah, because they did do some things right. You know, they've got lists for the menus and
yeah, the menu is a nice unordered list.
There's they said they're using closed captions on videos, in transcriptions and that.
Oh, that's cool.
So that's good.
And yeah, I didn't note that one. That's good. And they are using alternative text, but we'll get into it in a little bit. They're not using it very well, and there's also a couple issues of overkill. So I guess let's kind of go through some notes that I've written down, and then we'll have some kind of order to this because there's a lot to talk about, and we'll try not to make it too long.
Right.
So so they're using a nice unordered list for the menu. That's good. I personally would have thrown in like a heading, a menu like H2 or something in there, and maybe thrown it off screen, so that you know screen readers can find the menu quickly if they needed to by using the header.
Yeah.
Now, one of the first things I noticed is they do have a skip to main content link. It does not display on the page, which is kind of bad because really it should be. And in the last WebEx blog post, actually, there's a little article about a blind user who writes about that. But anyways, so they have a skip to main content, which is good, but it's not visible, and it's the seventh link on the page, in the order of the page. So you have to tab 7 times to get to the skip to content link, which is pretty ridiculous, because it should be first.
Yeah, practically not even useful at that point.
Yeah. Okay, so then the menu...
Yeah, so they did use a list for the menu, which is good. At least it's, you know, semantic, web standard, etc.
Yeah, and the colors are good. They have a nice drop down and a couple in the contrast, you know. But the drop downs I noticed require a mouse. There's apparently there's no on focus because the drop downs don't work with the keyboard.
Right. If you have motor disabilities and can't use a mouse very well, how do you get to other pages?
Right. So when you have on mouse over, always remember to use on focus also. The good part about that is if you can't get to the drop downs, like there's a about and then our mission, the act, timeline. If you click about, on the following page, there is a section that has those sub pages in it. So that's a good backup to have. But still, we were talking about equality here, so.
Yeah.
Use on focus. Okay, I also noticed that headings really aren't used that great. There's no H1. There's no heading 1 tag, which...
they just wrap everything into div.
Yeah, there's what I think should be the H1 welcometorecovery.gov, which is in a div with the class TTL red. And
nice semantic class.
Yeah,
name.
If you have a lot of experience with class names and that using red for a red for designing a red class like is not really the best idea. You should use something more semantic because if you change the color from red, then what are you going to do?
Yeah, and I noticed that they've kind of done this. For a lot of things, even this investing in public safety is a div with some goofy class names and that sort of thing.
Yeah. I mean, so you don't need a div or a class name. All you need is a H1. And that'll take care of like 3 or 4 problems right there.
Right. Right.
So I mentioned the design looks nice and the colors are pretty nice. And the contrast is pretty good, except then I noticed in the upper right there's an area for... to sign up for updates, like a newsletter and a search. And that contrast is not good. It's just like this medium gray over the light gray, and it's just kind of blah looking.
Yeah. And we're going to get to the text resizing too, but so they have text resizing controls on the page, which is an accessibility thing, but that is low contrast. So if you have a hard time seeing and need bigger text, wouldn't you want to make that?
Yeah. Oh, that's hilarious.
Yeah.
Is that the definition of irony?
Right, right. It's, yeah, small and very light, so that's kind of... If you can find this,
if you
might be able to read it better.
Yeah, if you're visually impaired, then try to find these small, faint letters.
Right.
Yep, you're right. Okay. Good point. Now, I consider myself a code freak, so... And web standards is a part of web accessibility, and they say that their page is XHTML transitional, and you know they're using CSS, you know, and everything, and that's fine and dandy, but the page is not XHTML transitional. It's so they need to do some work there. It's they're using some uppercase tags and attributes are missing quotes, break and image tags are not closed, some of the JavaScript. The script tags are missing the type attribute, and all those things like that.
Yeah, and it looks like they're using Drupal, the content management system.
Oh, really?
I'm not too familiar with Drupal, but I wonder, is that something that they did through the templates, or is that getting put in there from the CMS?
Good question, because maybe it's both, because I've noticed that some JavaScript script tags were different than others. Some were uppercase, some were not. Some had the text attribute, some didn't.
Yeah, so maybe they're using some modules.
Sorry, type attribute. Yeah, so maybe some is custom and some is not. That's what it looks like.
Yeah. Yeah, they might have some module that's kind of putting in some crappy code or who knows,
yeah.
But ultimately you're responsible for that, so you should pay attention.
And speaking of JavaScript, let's remind everyone. Yeah, so section 508, like WCAG 1, does say, you know, everything should be functional without JavaScript, without, you know, the requirement of scripting, and and they did not meet that requirement. Actually, the text resizing thing that we just talked about, that's some pretty sad code. It's a blank href attribute, and then it has an onClick, you know, which JavaScript function to do the resizing, and that's all. Yeah.
Yeah.
So 15 years ago, I'd be like, oh, okay, that works. But
right.
But no. Yeah, we need some more progressive enhancement techniques built into here.
Yeah, and it's such an easy thing, I mean, to improve at that point. You know, it just seems lazy.
Yeah. And like the date at the top, I'm not sure why it's there, but it uses JavaScript to write the date. It's like, well, why don't you just use the server side to print the current date? I mean,
yeah, it's so easy. I mean, any language is going to have some function where you can pop out the date.
Yeah.
And then I noticed some JavaScript dependent content. So there's at the bottom of the page, there's kind of like this timeline, milestones at a glance, which is all created by JavaScript. And, so if you don't have JavaScript, you can't access it. And then also, it's kind of like this weird scrolling thing where you can grab it and scroll it sideways. So if you're a keyboard user, how do you see any of the milestones?
Oh, yeah, good point.
It seems like this would be such an easy thing just to put in a data table, and it'd be so much more usable all around.
Yeah. Yeah, because if you turn off the style sheets and you look at that content, it's like it's a mess.
Yeah.
It's, yeah, so.
And it's in an iframe, and, it's just...
yeah. Then there's like a no script tag for something else in that thing, and it's crazy. So progressive enhancement, people. In data tables, this is another very basic thing. If you're using data tables, make sure you have th tags for your table headings, and a scope attribute also. And those are lacking on this page. So, where did I find it? I think I might have found it in that section somewhere.
Oh, on the...
In that timeline.
The timeline, probably.
Yeah. Anyways. And then... Let's see. What other reminders do we have? The sign-up table. Oh, yeah. They had some incorrect syntax on a with. Oh, yeah. A title attribute on the table. So no matter where your mouse is, like all over this big table, this title attribute shows up and is really goofy. Like the main content of the page, it says the title of that this big like layout table or something is welcome to recovery.gov. It's the title of the table. So that little message pops up like when you like mouse over like this whole section of the page. Now, what I think they were trying to do is a summary attribute for that table.
Yeah.
I guess. That's the only thing I can think of. So.
Yeah. Yeah, unless it's some CMS thing, again, where it's putting in titles for everything.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. All I know is the title attribute should not be there, and there should be a summary, you know, summing up what the table is for. So. Yeah, and... Let's all don't forget your form fields. I think no matter how simple, you should always use a label for your, you know, for your form elements. So I found that the search input was missing a label. So you know, I don't think that's an absolute necessity because it's like right the text label is right next to it. But you know, all these things add up.
Yeah, and then I noticed on the contact page they don't have any labels either.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah, and the you know, that's in a table. So
enough said.
Yeah. Yeah, and like the labels or what should be the labels of the fields are in completely different rows and stuff like that. So I could see where that really easily be confusing.
Oh, and you notice on the contact page they didn't use field sets or anything either, huh?
For the
form. Yeah. So if you have a longer form, yeah, it's definitely... Well, some people use it for short forms too, but the field set is good to break up the content of a form.
Or
describe the sections of it. Okay. Let's talk about one last thing. Alt attributes. Alternative text, which is the number one, but somehow the easiest yet the hardest thing to implement, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, so there's one blaring mistake in the U.S. flag in the upper left. Let's see. The alt tag, which you would think would be U.S. flag or something like that, it says skip to main content.
Yeah.
So obviously that's just a blunder.
And what's funny is that link actually takes you off the site.
Yeah, the link goes to whitehouse.gov.
Right, so you come across a link that says skip to main content and it actually takes you to a different website. That's pretty bad.
Yeah, so correct me if I'm wrong, but so the alt tag should be like United States flag, and then I would put, because they're linking to the White House, I would put a... at least a title attribute that says, you know, whitehouse.gov or, you know, something like that. I think that's the clearest thing.
Yeah, it's kind of a weird link to have in general. I don't really, I guess from a user experience standpoint, understand why you have... American flag icon that takes you to the U.S. government site.
I don't know. I don't want to take guesses at it, but I do know that down at the very bottom there is a link to whitehouse.gov and usa.gov, and I guess whitehouse.gov is really closely related to this site, so maybe that's why.
Yeah, and I see the value in having a link to the whitehouse.gov, but why use some icon? I would never even thought that that's a link to anything.
They should use a White House little icon. That would be cute. yeah. more relevant.
There you go. Yeah.
Anyways, the pie chart. The pie chart. If you
there's a big pie chart on the page with some information. Of course, an image.
Yeah, and it's got like a big title and a big subtitle, and then a little bit of data. And in the alt tag, there's a long alt tag that has this long title and it has the long subtitle, but the data is not in the alt tag.
Yeah.
And there's not, there's no long description attribute. There's no D-link, which alternatively can be used to, to put the data in text format. So, yeah. I mean, at minimum, I would put in the alt tag, a short title with, and then the data, because there's not that much data. That's all they had to do. So, I think.
So basically, it's kind of almost offensive. Like, this is some information that we're not going to.
Yeah, really. So, yeah. And I mean, the title could even, it doesn't even need to be in the graphic. It's just like yellow text and white text. The title, just like the note at the bottom could just be text, and then the graphic, you can easily fit that data into an alt tag.
Yeah.
And I noticed there's on the right there's four gray blocks with like sub areas of the site, like subheadings with some text, paragraph text, and those could also, I think, easily be a nice background graphic, with just regular headings and paragraph text, but it's not. It's made with four graphics.
Yeah, I didn't even notice that.
Yeah, it looks so much like text, you wouldn't even think it's a graphic, right?
Yeah, it's not even like they anti-aliased the text or anything, and they're using web-safe fonts, too. So I kind of not exactly sure why.
Yeah.
Why you would do it that way. But I agree, yeah, you could easily, that could just be a heading in text and no problem.
So we're, the point is, with the alt tag, they put all the text in the alt tag, which is good. The bad part is the alt tag is really, really, really long, which is bad. And also, because it's a heading, or it should be a heading, and it's paragraph text, it's not semantically marked up as a heading in paragraph text.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that definitely, I think, should be done. I mean, they could even make it look a little nicer if they just use a nice, background, gray background with a subtle shade or something. Yeah. I'm not a designer at all, and I could, I could come up with that.
Right.
So, yeah, that would be my suggestion.
Yeah, and if they had to use some sort of image or something, they could do image replacement, where they at least it would actually have the markup there.
Yeah, totally. Image replacement. Okay. I think we're just about done, but I know we had one or two other small points to mention. We talked about the text sizing. They've got numerous redundant title attributes. This is my pet peeve. I like to call this redundant title attributes. When you have a text attribute, and then there's a title attribute that says the exact same thing as the text, as a text link. So,
yeah.
For example, they have a link, I think it's at the bottom, it says a text link, it says accessibility. And then there's a title attribute, it says accessibility.
Yeah.
And
the whole menu is that way.
I haven't figured out why people do this. They think this is another example of overkill, they're trying to make it accessible, but they're doing the wrong things. This adds no value whatsoever.
Yeah.
And I've tried explaining this to people, but people sometimes just don't understand.
Yeah. I think that's safe to say.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Okay. And then one last thing, there's if you turn off the style sheets or if you're using a screen reader, you're going to find some strange text towards the bottom of the page. It says you are now leaving recovery.gov website. So that's kind of strange because you're not leaving it if you're just reading it.
Yeah. And I think what that is, and this is weird too, if you click on whitehouse.gov or usa.gov, it does like a lightbox style JavaScript pop-up.
Right.
It says you're now exiting the recovery.gov site.
That's what that content is for, yeah.
Yeah, you will now access blah, blah, blah. And that's just kind of weird.
This is an example of Web 2.0 gone wrong, right?
Right, right.
Like, so they're using the display none, which is bad. So they need to be using AJAX, you know, or HiJAX, or, you know, or a JavaScript alert, or, you know, going to at least a new page before it continues, or some kind of alternative.
Yeah. And I like the idea of letting the user know that they're going to be leaving the site. But you can use, like, an icon. You don't have to pop up this big thing, which is... I mean, if a screen reader were to just all of a sudden start reading that, I can see where that'd be pretty confusing.
That's another idea. Just a CSS icon and then use a title attribute for, you know, external site or something.
Sure, sure.
Yeah. But, yeah, so there's lots of alternatives than doing some crappy, non-accessible Web 2.0 stuff. So you could do HiJAX, you could do... just going to a new page before continuing. Or a JavaScript alert, which is dorkier, but at least it's accessible.
Right.
Okay. So, yeah, I don't mean... Overall, there's definitely obviously room for improvement. Site like looks nice, there's a lot of good information, but... I hope that they come to me or someone else and try to fix this thing up.
Yeah, it's a beautiful site, and they, you know, they've done some things right, and definitely, you know, have done some good things. But there's a lot of oversight, it seems like.
And the good thing is we're learning a lot from their mistakes, right? We could talk about all the different things that they're doing right, and a lot that they're doing wrong, and that they can be improved on. And a lot of these things, you know, that we could take away and you can improve on your site too.
Yeah, yeah. And I think a lot of it, you know, they could fix some of these things fairly easily too, which is
nice. Oh yeah, yeah. Some of them might take a little more work, but yeah, definitely a lot of them. This is pretty simple stuff, you know, with these alt text labeled form labels and headings, and some of it might be a little more work than others, but it's usually, you know, that's why you have to think for about accessibility when from the ground up when you're first planning and starting a website, because, you know, it's a lot easier to get this stuff done when you're starting out than trying to retrofit. That's one thing I've definitely learned, especially at my last day job. Yikes.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, much harder to fix.
Retrofit and going in circles is no fun.
Yeah.
So plan from the beginning.
Absolutely.
Okay, well, that is it for WebAx podcast number 69. That was a great episode, I think, Ross, and can't wait till next month.
The WebAx blog and podcast is located at webaxe.blogspot.com, webaxe.blogspot.com. Email WebAx at webax@gmail.com, webaxe@gmail.com. To leave a voice message, call 206-203-0585. WebAx is sponsored by Check Engine USA, website tune-ups and overhauls. www.checkengineusa.com.